The sunnah and the commands of Allah. The sunnah and the commands of Allah. Here it is, Madani Muzakira. The sunnah and the commands of Allah. Here it is, Madani Muzakira.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. والصلاة والسلام على خاتم النبيين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم صلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وصحابك يا حبيب الله صلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وصحابك يا نور الله.
The 15th saying of the final Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, stated on page number 5 of Blessings of Durut, is Sayyiduna Ubay ibn Ka'b radiyallahu anhu said, I will leave all my daily recitations and invocations and spend all my time in reciting Durut. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, this will be sufficient to remove your worries and your sins will be forgiven.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.
My question to Amiri Ahle Sunnat, Damat Barakatuhumul Aliyah, is, some people enroll their children in school at an early age. Similarly, some people enroll their children in a madrasa early. How should children's education be managed so that they succeed both in religion and worldly matters? If there is any book on this topic, please mention it.
When a child becomes sensible, some children become sensible early, while some take a little longer. We also have some rules, such as enrolling a child in the first class by a certain age. If a child becomes overage for admission to the first class, then unfortunately it is customary to lie by stating a lower age for the child. Thus their education begins with a sin. This is common. I am speaking about worldly education. As for Islamic education, the system of religious madrasa is different. But who enrolls their children in them? Here, worldly education dominates everywhere, even though the light of Islamic education is present. A bulb is very small, isn't it? Yet it gives so much light. Similarly, although those who acquire Islamic education are few in number compared to those pursuing worldly education, their light is immense. Alhamdulillah, they spread a great deal of light. If there is an imam in a neighborhood, a man of knowledge, he illuminates the entire neighborhood with the light of religious knowledge. Anyway, this should be decided according to the situation, taking into account how intelligent the child is, and their education should be according to their capacity. The Islamic method is that, first of all, the child should be taught Islamic beliefs. Once they become discerning, Islamic beliefs should be explained to them according to their level of understanding. They should be taught about Allah Almighty and the Rasul and about the angels. Otherwise, children say nonsensical things as they know nothing. As he grows more sensible, he should be given Islamic education. When he is 7 years old, he should now be commanded to offer prayer. Now, this is wajib upon the father or the guardian that he should command the child to offer prayer and continue encouraging him to offer prayer. Inshallah. Goodness for both worlds lies in this. The saying of the final Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is, anyone among you teaching his child manners and conduct is better than giving charity every day, amounting to half a sa. That is, 80 grams less than 2 kilograms. Therefore, children should be taught manners, the manners of life. They should be taught the sunan and continue teaching them prayer according to their level of understanding, and also keep teaching them the Holy Quran. One is called an educated person as he has gone from FA to further grades. This is a proverb. He is so educated, yet he can't recite the Holy Quran by looking at it. How can this person be educated? A Muslim should know how to recite the Quran. At least he should know how to recite by looking at it, right? But they don't even know this. They don't know how to read Surah Al-Fatiha. I speak truthfully, you won't find a large number of such people. Perhaps I might find them, or those Qaris who know how to recite the Quran correctly and they know Tajweed. Many may be hearing the word Tajweed for the first time. They would pronounce it as Tajweez and ask, what is Tajweez? So the reality is that a large number of us don't even know how to correctly recite Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In my view, I say this because those who know how to recite the Quran correctly and understand correct recitation, if they hear you, they will say that you are not reciting properly. Even if you might get angry with them and say, I have been reciting it since childhood. A person makes many mistakes, even from childhood, just as one's hand slips while working. Anyway, it's never too late. Learn now. Learn the Holy Quran from a good Qari, reciter. If you don't know the Quran, then what do you know? What does it mean to be educated? May Allah Almighty enable us to educate ourselves and our children correctly.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad.
Now, what sometimes happens in our society rather, it almost happens, not sometimes, that when children grow a little older, around 2.5 to 3 years of age, it becomes very difficult to manage them. So, the household or family members want their child to just go to an institution. Whereas, across the world, all the science and logic around the world have changed regarding this. A child should remain with their parents, within the home, for as long as possible, for example, at least up to 4 or 5 years or more. And their proper moral, religious, and societal training should be provided by their parents at home, not by sending them to an institution at the age of 2.5, 3, or almost 3 years. In fact, people argue at the institutions, no, our child. The school says, we don't accept children before 3 years. The parent says, take him, he's 2.5, he looks 3, take him, he's sensible now. Oh brother, what should I answer to this? Looking like a certain age and the actual age are two different things. So, it is not like that. The science of education worldwide has changed significantly. Because in every coming time, as Amiri Ahle Sunnat has stated, it heavily depends on the child's thinking, intelligence and sensibility. However, it has been agreed upon in many places that one should at least try to raise and train the child at home. Otherwise, we enroll them in institutions, and it is not necessary that the environment of every institution is good. Sometimes, instead of improving, the child may develop negative habits, and we think the environment at home is not like this. If these factors are also taken into consideration, and we make arrangements for our children's training according to what Amiri Ahle Sunnat advised, it will be beneficial. And the book name was asked, it is Tarbiyat-e-Aulad, a proper book on this subject. Get this book, it is like a curriculum. If you want to understand parenting, this book will help you in that.
Nowadays, admissions are arranged even before birth in advance. In Karachi, there are such schools where admission is secured in advance because later there is a rush or they find no opportunity. Whether a girl is born or a boy is born, whoever is born will study in such and such school.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad.
My name is Fahad Attari, and I belong to the garden area of Karachi. When an earthquake, a storm, or any accident occurs somewhere, the masajid, or shrines located there, are not harmed, or they are harmed very little. So please guide us. Despite this, if any masjid or shrine is harmed, what should our mindset be regarding this? Please guide us.
During an earthquake or storm, etc., it sometimes happens that the masjid and blessed shrine remain safe. However, this doesn't occur every time. It is Allah Almighty's will that sometimes such sacred places demonstrate that Allah Almighty can do whatever He wills. Allah Almighty, through His perfect power, has protected His house and the shrines of His holy men, so that the faith and belief of the people remain strong. But it doesn't happen in every case. When Yazid's army attacked the sacred Kaaba, at that time, stones were hurled from slings. Its modern version is a cannon. As a result, the covering of the Kaaba was harmed. Similarly, sometimes masajid are also demolished. This is not the case. In an era, the sacred Kaaba experienced such storms that its origin dating back to the time of Sayyiduna Adam alayhi salam. So, it is proven that masajid and shrines are damaged. This occurs by the will of Allah Almighty. Whatever Allah Almighty wills will happen. Sometimes people are saved in such miraculous ways, and small children are also saved. When the earthquake happened a few days ago, a chicken came out from the stones and rubble, completely alive and safe. That was also astonishing. How did it survive? A question was also asked about who will be its owner now. It had no owner, so evidently it was Lukta. Anything Lukta that is found lying, for which there is no trace of who the owner is, but it came out alive. It is not the case that whoever finds it takes possession of it. No, it belonged to someone. Children also remain safe. I saw a picture today where there is rubble, a very large stone, and a small space is open in it. A tiny child is completely inside that space, and he is perfectly alive. His face is visible. This is the glory of Allah Almighty. It is possible that his parents, etc., were all crushed and passed away in it, but this child was alive. As it is said, whom Allah Almighty preserves, no one can destroy. Allah Almighty continually demonstrates His power, showing that He can do whatever He wills. No matter how hard a person tries with his intellect and cleverness, what the Lord wills will happen. Everyone may wish for something, but if the Lord doesn't will it, their collective wish can't bring it.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad.
My name is Muhammad Nasir Attari, and my question to Amir Ahle Sunnat Damat Barakatuhumul Aliya is, can one keep a Nafil fast without the permission of their employer? Because after keeping a Nafil fast, one can't work with the same efficiency as they do in their daily routine.
If keeping a Nafil fast doesn't affect one's work, and one can do routine work normally, then permission from the employer is not necessary. However, if keeping the Nafil fast makes one sluggish and prevents the completion of required work, then one should discuss it with the employer or get their salary deducted according to the work done less due to keeping fast. It is not permissible to unilaterally grant yourself a concession because of a Nafil fast. Yes, if it is a waqf institution or a job such as Jamiatul Madina is a waqf property, a waqf institution, everything is waqf, right? If there is a teacher there, and suppose he has 4 periods and he keeps nafil fasts, if he can only manage 3 periods and during 1 period he becomes exhausted and his energy drops, in this situation he can't even ask for permission for this. Therefore, he should not keep the nafil fasts and should complete his work.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad.
Amir Ahle Sunnat, please say a few words regarding the life and character of Sayyiduna Hamza radiyallahu anhu.
Amir Hamza radiyallahu anhu was extremely brave, truly a lion. And whose lion? The lion of Allah and His noble Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He was born 2 years before the blessed birth of the noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He had 4 well-known titles. Asadullah, that is the lion of Allah, Asadur Rasul. That is the lion of the noble Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Fa'ilul Khairat. That is one who performs many good deeds, and Sayyidush Shuhada. That is the leader of the martyrs. Sayyiduna Amir Hamza radiallahu anhu was related to the noble Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam in several ways and from different angles. For example, first, he was the paternal uncle of the noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Second, the mother of Amir Hamza radiallahu anhu, Sayyida Amina radiallahu anha, was the paternal cousin of the beloved Prophet's blessed mother. In this way, Amir Hamza radiallahu anhu was also the maternal cousin of the noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Sayyiduna Amir Hamza radiallahu anhu was also a foster brother of the holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This is because Sayyidatuna Suwayba and Sayyidatuna Halima Sa'diya radiyallahu anhuma were the foster mothers of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam due to milk kinship. Sayyiduna Amir Hamza radiyallahu anhu also drank milk from these 2 fortunate mothers. Therefore, through this milk kinship, he was also a foster brother of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam.
Kya poochte ho, kya hain Hazrat Amir Hamza? Hairat ki intiya hain Hazrat Amir Hamza. اللہ رے یہ نسبت اللہ رے یہ عظمت سرکار کے چچا ہیں حضرت امیر حمزہ رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ.
Almighty Allah's final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, by the one in whose power is my soul, it is indeed written in the 7th heaven.
حمزہ ابن عبد المطلب اسد اللہ و اسد رسولہ.
That is, Sayyiduna Hamza ibn Abd al-Muttalib radiallahu anhu is the lion of Allah and the lion of his Rasul.
وہی شیر ہیں خدا کے اور شیر مصطفیٰ کے ہیں محب حبیب داور آقا امیر حمزہ رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ.
Dear devotees of Rasul, on the 15th of Shawwal in the 3rd year of Hijrah, a great battle between truth and falsehood took place, which is known as the Battle of Uhud. Sayyiduna Amir Hamza radiallahu anhu also took part in the Battle of Uhud. He fought with great bravery and was ultimately honored with the exalted rank of martyrdom. At the time of his martyrdom, his blessed age was 57 years.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad.
Amir Ahle Sunnat is requested to say a few words regarding Hazrat Imam Bukhari's piety and detachment from worldly matters.
Indeed, the compiler of Sahih Bukhari was a truly exceptional personality. Hazrat Imam Bukhari rahimahullah possessed remarkable piety. I will share a very beautiful incident with you that shows just how cautious he was and how great his piety, righteousness, and wisdom were. Once, while traveling in search of holy hadith, Imam Bukhari rahimahullah boarded a sea vessel, that is a ship. He had a purse with him containing 1,000 dinars, that is 1,000 gold coins. During the journey, a man treated him with great hospitality and showed him a great deal of affection and respect. As a result, Imam Bukhari trusted him and mentioned that he had this amount of money with him. One day, that man pretended to fall asleep, then suddenly jumped up in alarm, began shouting loudly, and started tearing his clothes. When people asked him what had happened, he cried out, "Alas, I have been robbed. My purse has been stolen. It contained 1,000 dinars." Immediately, a search of everyone on the ship began. Seeing this, Imam Bukhari understood the entire situation and decided to make a very great sacrifice. Accordingly, amidst the chaos, he quietly threw his purse into the sea without anyone realizing. When Imam Bukhari rahimahullah and everyone else had been searched and no money was found with anyone, the people turned against that man. They began to beat him and abuse him, saying that he was lying, that he should be ashamed of himself for troubling everyone. They said it was a small ship, it had been thoroughly searched, and yet the money was nowhere to be found. In short, the man was greatly humiliated. Later, when he found an opportunity, he met Imam Bukhari privately and asked him, "You told me about the gold coins you had. Where did they disappear to? Where did that purse go?" Imam Bukhari rahimahullah replied, "I threw it into the sea." The man said in astonishment, "How could you bear such a huge loss?" To this, Imam Bukhari rahimahullah gave a response that is truly worth remembering. He said, "O foolish and ignorant man, I have spent my entire life's wealth in the pursuit of holy hadith, because of which people consider me trustworthy and reliable in matters of knowledge and narration. Should I allow a false accusation of theft to be placed upon me for the sake of a few coins and lose the honor that Allah Almighty has granted me?"
Subhanallah.
Imam Bukhari rahimahullah was indeed a person of the highest caliber. He made such a great sacrifice, yet did not allow any stain to come upon his character. After relating this incident, Allama Ajluni rahimahullah states, "May Allah Almighty shower countless mercies upon Imam Bukhari. This incident clearly demonstrates his lofty character, his detachment from worldly matters, his nobility of spirit, his exceptional wisdom, and his deep intelligence. He was not only an imam of knowledge, but also unmatched in noble character, insight, and integrity. This is therefore a deeply moving and iman-inspiring incident showing what Imam Bukhari was truly like. Allah Almighty granted such acceptance to the book of this pious, Allah-fearing, and flawless character Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah, that after the Holy Quran, the name that comes foremost in terms of authenticity is that of Sahih Bukhari. Since he compiled only Sahih, that is authentic ahadith in Bukhari Sharif, so here I would like to clear up a common misunderstanding among the general public. Some people say, show us from Bukhari or tell us from Bukhari, meaning that only the ahadith in Bukhari are authentic. This does not mean that ahadith found in other collections are incorrect. That is not the case at all. The term Sahih does not stand as the opposite of incorrect here. Rather, Sahih represents the highest level of authenticity among hadith classifications. It is the most elevated rank of holy hadith. This ranking is based on detailed scholarly analysis of the narrators and the chains of transmission, and it is a complete field of study in its own right. Thus, ahadith of Bukhari are of the highest rank. What the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself said is absolute truth, and there can be no discussion or doubt about that at all. However, these ahadith reach us through chains of transmission. One person heard it from the noble prophet, another heard it from him, then another from him, and so on. Here, when it is stated that I heard it from the noble prophet, then he heard it from him, then he heard it from him, scholarly discussion takes place regarding the narrators in the chain, that if there is a person who is known to be a liar or a thief or against whom serious accusations have been made or whose memory is weak, then on that basis, the holy hadith is categorized accordingly. In Sahih Ahadith, there is no such defect found in the narrators. It was on this principle that Imam Bukhari rahimahullah compiled these ahadith. May Allah immerse him in his mercy and grant us abundance from his spiritual blessings and scholarly contributions.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad.
The sunnah and the commands of Allah. The sunnah and the commands of Allah. Here it is, Madani Muzakira. The Sunnah and the commands of Allah.
Here it is, Madani Muzakirat.